verse 12. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. I'm going to read verse 13 again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see this? This is not there for nothing. This is life. Verse 13 is life. Verse 12 is death. Verse 12 says, and the law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. And he will not make heaven, because the law is not of faith. We're saved through faith. The law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's in the law. He hung on a tree. He became a curse for us. Satan couldn't outwit God. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Don't ever focus on your failures. If evil thoughts come to you, they came to you to seduce you, to pull you out of the realm of the kingdom of heaven, and turn your heart so that you will be an enemy against God. Because you believed on Jesus Christ. It's an attack. The thoughts of the mind is trying to get in your heart. That's why Satan has to tempt people. Because you don't want it. He has to tempt you because you don't want what he's selling. And he tried to make you believe that this came from you, but it did not. It came from him. If you were motivated to believe on Jesus Christ, and you were justified by the washing of his blood, and his broken body was broken so that you could be healed and saved and set free, that's faith. Satan's trying to disturb that. Don't let him do it. Go back to verse 12. The law is not of faith. He's trying to pull you back into a realm that he can fight you unfairly. But you stand and you fight him from the victory that Jesus gave you. The law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in it. The man that doeth what? The man that is sanctified by the law. The man that's trying to be saved by his deeds, he going to live in them. He going to die in them too, because it will not work. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise from the Spirit through faith. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through our faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it may be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. They're trying to add to something, a covenant that was already set, when they try to impose a law on people that definitely can't keep the law. The purpose of the law, again, is our schoolmaster to show us that we need Jesus. There's no way we can keep the law. And if you don't believe me, try it. I tried it before. I tried to go a few days without doing anything wrong. I didn't make it. I don't think I made 24 hours. I did things I wish I didn't do, and I said things I wish I didn't say, and I broke the law. Now I got, and this really happened. I was a teenager. I was, I got saved. I was almost 20. I started getting interested in salvation when I was 18. When I was 17, I would have did anything. I didn't care. I just would have did anything. But I knew that the things of God, I had a respect. I went to church. I had a respect for the things that was right. I had a respect for preaching. I had a respect for God's word. But I didn't do it. But when I was 18, I wanted to clear some things up because I did not want to be a hypocrite. I think I feared being a hypocrite. Because in church, you see things. You see how people do things. Some do right, some don't. And I was focused on performance. I didn't know. I never experienced being washed in the blood. You know, and this the illusion for people that haven't gotten saved yet. They think that they got to do everything. I found when I got saved, I didn't have to do anything. Once I got saved, I was made righteous. I just didn't want to do wrong no more. I didn't have appetite. The appetite for doing wrong did not come from my heart ever again. Those appetites came from the desires of the flesh and the mind. But I overcame that by reading the word of God. I feel the heart. I began to charge my heart with God's word. I didn't fill my heart with it, but I began to charge my heart with what Jesus said. And my appetite for God was much stronger. I was able to walk. I found myself walking in integrity more and more. So, because I did it by faith. That's the only way it will work. If you try to do it by law, it just won't work right. It won't work at all. It just frustrates you. That's what it'll do. I'm going to read this again. Verse 16. Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not into seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. See, God, he did this thing right. Let me back up a little bit to give it more clarity. Christ, verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That happened to me. I wanted to do right for a change, continually, as a way of life. And I didn't want to do the wrong thing. But people that preached the doctrine of sanctification, they focused on what you don't do. They're always trying to talk you out of not doing what you really don't want to do anyway. And it became a nuisance. Instead of showing people how to destroy the works of darkness by faith. The Lord taught me that more than man. And I say more than man because preaching, most preachers included a form of the doctrine of sanctification until I started listening to people like Kenneth Hagin. He focused more on the spirit. And he had to deal with people that were already seduced in the mind of the doctrine of sanctification. He had to deal with all that. And he got a lot of trouble with people that believed the doctrine of sanctification. They sent him letters and things like that. Now, because he didn't do it the way that they thought it should be done. But they didn't study this chapter too good either. What he taught people what I'm teaching now. Only the ones who studied for themselves and had a revelation of what Christ did, they grew in the spirit and they became more capable of obeying God. See, you can't obey. The way you are justified will affect the way you serve God. If you believe a dark, if you believe any darkness, Satan don't care what part of his darkness you choose to believe. As long as you believe something that's of darkness, and then he'll work through that. He's after life in the spirit. He's always after your life in the spirit. He's trying to stop your life in the spirit. He tried to stop the disciples' life in the spirit through the Pharisees. All you have to do is read the book of Acts. The knowledge of God is at war against the knowledge of the world. The knowledge of the world or man is at war with the knowledge of God. Period. Satan don't care what kind of darkness you fall into. It will leaven you and it will work. He'll use it to harass your life. And his goal is to make you curse God and die. He's trying to do everybody like he did Job. But he's limited by your faith. I've heard Christians say, good Christians, they hope God don't let Satan do. No. God told me this. He said, I allow what you allow. If you think Satan is up to something, shut it down. By life in the spirit. By your faith in Jesus. You got the authority. God's not, he gave you authority. He's not going to come down here and use it for you. I bought my son a truck, you know, years ago. Now, I don't drive all the way to his house and then park my car and say, let me take you somewhere in your truck. That never happens. He can drive his own truck. Well, it's not running around. I'm just using that for an example. It has a problem right now. But, I mean, it don't make sense to, oh, you buy your child a vehicle. Then you drive over to where they live and take them somewhere in their car that you bought them. It doesn't make sense. You have authority over Satan. You'll never be like Job was. Job didn't have authority like we have authority. But he won. He didn't submit to what Satan was doing. He didn't know what was going on. He was clueless. He couldn't. Things were just going wrong around him. He couldn't read chapter 1 and chapter 2. He wrote it later after God gave him insight. So don't fear anything of Satan. But Satan don't care what darkness you fall into, as long as you get, it can be alcoholism, it can be fornication, it can be adultery, and it can be legalism. It's all the same thing. It's darkness. Yes, legalism, being justified by the law, is darkness. He'd rather for you to fall into that trap because it's so many people are already persuaded by it. And everybody that break through that, they had to break through that. And they can become more useful to God because they're focused on life in the spirit. And people who are focused on life in the spirit, they don't backslide. Now, 2 Peter chapter 1 proves that, but you got to read the whole chapter. All right. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth nor addeth thereto. Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made. Now to Abraham, verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to the seed, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. See, the covenant points to Christ. Christ is the heart of our life in the spirit. We look to Christ for everything, for salvation, and our victory. Go read what Jesus said and practice it, and you'll kill the works of darkness at your will. You can shut Satan all the way down. If he's trying to start a war between countries, you can shut that down by your faith. You have that much authority. Verse 17, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The covenant was given 430 years before the law. Life in the Spirit, the covenant is life in the Spirit, was given 430 years before the law. I read verse 17 again. You're going to get this one. This I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. So the law can't change the covenant that's greater than it is. The law is an asset to help you receive that covenant, because it proves to you that you got sin in your nature and in your heart. And the law, if you want salvation, the law ushered you into Jesus. But once you're in Jesus, you just fulfill the law. You don't need people telling you what you can and can't do. You have a reference by the love of God. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? Well, he's saying, why in the world are you serving the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, Jesus. It was added because of transgressions until Jesus should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the land of the mediator. Now, the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. I'm going to read that again. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. So that the answer to that is no. The law is not against the promises of God. God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promises by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. See, the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promises by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Until Jesus came, we had to deal with that old law that showed us that we needed a Savior. That's what he's saying. Wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. If ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, take heed to Galatians chapter 3. Let it be in your heart, because this is very important. Now let's go over here to Colossians, the wonderful book of Colossians. We're going to show you this all over again another way. Colossians 2, verse 1. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my flesh, my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom all are hid, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul was somewhere else when he wrote this, probably in jail. But the Holy Spirit, life in the Spirit, life in the Spirit. He said, I'm with you in the Spirit. Joying, taking joy, he's because of what he see. And beholding your order. He's over there, they're over here. And Paul see him by the Spirit, not by the law. He's beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He's reading, these are the Colossians. Continuing, verse 6. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. See, life in the Spirit, you have greater abilities. You can see people in another state, another country somewhere. There's no, you know, God can show you what's going on precisely. He can give you a dream. He can give you a vision. He can even take you there for a while and bring you back. Life in the Spirit. All these things have happened and they're biblical. Okay, verse 8. Now watch what he's saying to them. They're already doing well. He said, beware lest any man spoil you through the philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now he's right. They're doing good in Colossae. They're doing wonderful. He's joy and beholding that faith. But he know how the Jews were preaching the law. Just like Christians teach that doctrine of sanctification. Now, again, they don't mean any harm, but they don't see the danger in it. You can't be law-focused. You got to be faith-focused in order to fulfill the law. You can't fulfill the law with the law. That's impossible. But because if your focus turned to the law, just like we said an hour ago, it won't work. All right, he said, he's telling them, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men and after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now watch this. And you are complete in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power. So when you don't know what to do, look to Jesus. For salvation, you look to Jesus. For healing, Jesus. You got a problem, use the wisdom of Jesus to solve it. Life in the Spirit. See, if you're out there sinning, then you know you didn't fail. Repent through Jesus. But that's not the case. Your problem suggests that something's wrong and you're not living right. Then the enemy try to trap you with the doctrine of sanctification. Rise above all that. They already were doing that. He's telling them not to let people talk them out of it. Okay. Then he said in verse 10, you are complete in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. The Jews were trying to get them to start practicing circumcision for salvation. But they were already saved, though they had no surgery. They didn't have the circumcision of the flesh. They had already been circumcised in the heart. And that was mentioned a long time ago. Even Moses talked about them being circumcised in the heart. And I know Isaiah did. But now they're trying to impose circumcision of the flesh after they've been circumcised in the heart. If you've been circumcised in the heart, circumcision in the flesh is not necessary. That's what he's telling them. They're trying to get them back into legalism, focused on the law for salvation and righteousness. Verse 11, I read it again. In whom ye are also, in whom also, so you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Now watch this. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. You know, living, he loved us. Dying, he saved us. Buried, he took my sins far away. Rising, he justified, saved me forever. One day he'll return. Glorious day. That's who we are. That's who we become. We don't need a fleshly circumcision that hurts like crazy to make us see that we need Jesus. The purpose of the fleshly circumcision was to prepare us and keep us in covenant so that we would receive the circumcision of the heart. So if you got the circumcision of the heart, you don't need the circumcision of the flesh. And don't put your sons in all that trouble. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is what Jesus did for us when he let them nail him to the cross, and he laid his life down, and he died, not from the nails, not from the cross, not from the sword. He laid his life down for us. Okay, continuing. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You can't go outside the confines of life in the flesh. They're trying to steal from you when they try to impose these laws on you. All right. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increased with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, though as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinance? Now watch this. He said, touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in all, in will, which things indeed have a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. These things are dead. Let it see it as dead. It is dead. Touch not, taste not, handle not. Because which all are to perish with the using. Don't obey the doctrines of devils and end up like the devil. That's what he's telling. See, don't let anything draw your attention away from life in the spirit. When I went to the Holiness Church, I went because a wonderful lady named Mom Powell had a relationship with God, and I wanted a relationship with the Lord as well. But I ran right into this doctrine that caused problems. And it drew my attention. It was designed to draw my attention away from life in the spirit. But the Lord helped me. The Holy Spirit, I went through. I know what people go through that do this. The Lord helped me through those days. And I was able to come out on top. And I was able to survive it. Life in the spirit conquers the weaknesses of the flesh, the weaknesses of the mind, and even the doubts of the heart. Life in the spirit conquers the weaknesses of the flesh, the weaknesses of the mind, and the doubts that have made it into the heart. And so, through paying attention to the Lord, he taught me life in the spirit. See, when I was tempted with lust, the Lord, I conquered it, not by the law, focusing on, I wasn't law focused. I was God focused. Understand, the things that people said, the way that they put it, the doctrine of focusing on what you can't do to be righteous. If you do these things, you're going to hell. Or you backslid. All the accusations. You felt accused. Then the temptations of your mind, and the temptations that the enemy give you, then you go to church, and if you do this, they always focus on whether you backslid or not. That wasn't my fear. I just wanted to know how to kill temptation in those days too. But as I sought the Lord, he taught me life in the spirit, and I conquered everything the enemy was doing.